It's now the 20th of February 2017. I'm Alistair Adams. I'm sitting here with Derek Tidmarsh, who is operating our recording equipment, and Jim Smith. Jim, obviously, is another ex-Fieldings employee. Now, normally, I would ask Jim when he started at Fieldings, but I know this already, because we started in the same year. I went into the craft school the same year. It was 1963. But I know that Jim did start earlier than that, so maybe you could let us know when you actually started and what you were doing.
Well, I applied for an apprenticeship at Fieldings, but unfortunately, because of my background, I was unsuccessful at the first start, and they kept my name on file, and one of the office boys had a serious shoulder injury, and they were looking for an office boy to fit his place. So they asked me to join. I was 15 in the January, and I joined in the Easter, which is about the April time. And I then started working as an office boy, but someone in the personnel department must have took a shine to me and said that we're going to give you the opportunity to go to tech and learn about engineering, which is what I did. And then I had a year at tech, and then I had my offered apprenticeship just after, because at that time they were only taking apprentices from technical education. Mine was a secondary modern education, and I had no qualifications whatsoever. Left school with absolutely nothing whatsoever. So there was myself and a bloke called Tony Slim, same school, same class, good friends. And he became the other office boy because there were two office boys required at that time. So we both, I'd been there about 4 or 5 months prior to that.
Yeah.
But then having the opportunity to be in the offices and work in the factory, I was very familiar with the sites before the next intake came in. So I had a bit of an advantage there. So that's I came through the back door basically because I wasn't bright enough to go the regular route.
I wouldn't say you're not bright enough, Jim. You weren't too bad in our intake. I forgot Tony Slim was an office boy as well.
We were very good friends. We were good friends at school, and then when I left in the Easter, he stayed on, and then he started with Fieldings in the September, I think, when the intake started. So
So you went through the routine of the block and machines,
did.
And
did
what
indeed.
Can you tell us about that?
The block, yeah. I mean, it was a notorious thing. If I remember rightly, it was a 2-inch square piece of steel, and we had to get to 1 15/16. We marked off the lines, and then we had to have a chisel line going down. I still got the scars here on my thumb that missed, and then we chiseled it and thawed it and then scraped it. And then in the craft school, if you remember, there they put marking blue on.
Yeah.
And you put tons and tons of this marking blue to make sure that it was a full thing, but they were wiping off. And then we'd put a stamp on it. But you couldn't move any further on in the craft school until you completed all the sides, the 8 sides on the
floor. I didn't realise that. I'd forgotten that you had to do that before you could do anything else.
Well, they split people up, didn't they? I mean, there was 20 in our intake, I can't remember. But I know that someone on the benches, because there was enough room, and someone in the machines doing the other stuff. And believe it or not, we had a storeman. We had to spare the stores, do you remember that?
Yeah.
With our lecture room at the back.
Yeah.
And then we had to polish all the desks. And so it was really a good grounding. It really was. But yeah, the block was quite frightening, really, but it was a good skill to learn. Absolutely.
Okay, Jim. Well, yeah, the craft school is a place we all loved, and it's actually stood us in good stead for our future trips around the works. So, after the craft school, where did you go?
After craft school, I went to the light machine shop, and I spent quite a bit of time with the former's. A book called Rich Court. And there was many, many characters there. And I had a lot of fun there, I mean, I must admit. But there was some good machining done there, some very good machining. And there was that time that, because I was quite useful on the lathe and the capstan, they wanted me to finish up there. but it wasn't really my idea of heaven, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It was not something I wanted to make a career out of in the business.
So. Yeah.
But I spent, the news was 6-8 months up there, and then went to personnel, as we had a personnel department there.
We did,
And again, applied to go to other departments. So they said that I could go into the grinding section, which I just flat said no, I didn't want to go down there. The guy was a good guy down there, I can't remember his name now, but it was the smell, and it was that surface grinding, and the machines going back and forth. So they said that what we'll do, we'll give you the opportunity to work in a fitting shop, but you'll have to go through the boiler yard.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I went to work.
Yeah.
Welders on one side, and then there was...
Placers.
I worked on the placers with one, one of the top blokes there. I mean, he was a blonde hair, I can't remember his name there, but blonde hair guy. And it was great for foreigners. I've got to tell you, I think Fieldings was the best place in the world to get little jobs done for yourself. I mean, it was, and having a motorbike then at the time, it was ideal for me to. And I remember once that one of the foremen came down and said that Jim Fielding's son wanted a go-kart made. So we actually made parts for this go-kart as well. I didn't make them, but I helped make them.
Yeah.
And again, a good education, a lot of good skilled men in the boiler yard, and then went there for a while, and eventually got into the fitting shop in Hydraulic One. With the larger presses that were built, machines were built. And then that time, you're always put with another elderly guy, and although my mother's friend, my mother's cousin was a man called Tony Barton, who had quite a reputation, and I went to work with a book called Vic Oldham, who again was quite a reputation, but a fantastic person, you know, not necessarily about the engineering skills, but life skills. And I remember there was one of the jobs that I first had to do was, we had these billy cans for tea, making the tea, and this one guy would require all the level, bottom level of the tea can to be tofu tea, leaf tea, and you'd have to mash it by putting this, turning this thing in circles.
Swinging it round.
And it was just the first job I did when I got into a fitting shop to make the tea. So, but yeah, then it went on from there. And then there was all sorts of, I think what made it unique was the people that were there and the characters that were there. We had fantastic character in the works manager. I don't know if you remember a book called Bill Meadows. He had this habit. And do you remember that, Derek? He had this habit of pulling his sleeves up like that. You know, that was his real habit. Very immaculately dressed. I remember him being absolutely. And when he was going around the works, you know, the firm would go around, Bill Meadows is coming around, so he'd have to be seen to be doing something rather constructive rather than nothing. And he would say, "There's a problem with this one, Bill. Who knows about it?" And he would say, "So-and-so, that's okay. Carry on." And I'm going to tell you this one story about that. I was working in the fitting shop, and a lot of the machine components were unavailable because of a lack of personnel in the machine shop. So the word went round that the apprentices were going to be working up in the machine shop. Having machine shop experience, obviously there was a bit of a thing, you know, that was going to be earmarked to go up. So maybe 6 or 7 of us got together and said, "We ain't doing it. There's no way are we going to go up machine shop. No way. No way." So we stood outside this. And if you remember it, it was always steps up. But they all had elevated positions, didn't they, in the company, but their position, their offices were all there. So I remember being outside Bill Meadows' office and said, "Look, we're going to stick together. We're not going to do a machine job." So I went into his office, and he said, "Little Jim, sit down." And I said, "Look, Jim, we're in the shit. You know, you can help us out." So you grew about 25 foot, you know, thinking that you're really around. So that night I was on nights. So every one of us were working nights that night. Yeah, that was the kind of characters that you get. And it was a conscious effort to do something constructive. It was, you know, you felt part of doing something, and it was I think more than anything it was the people made it such a good place to work, and the skill levels were fantastic.
It's surprising you are saying what practically everybody that we interview says. Really? Everybody's got the same thing. Yeah, really?
So it must be right then.
It must be right. Yes, we're all right.
Yeah.
talking in a bit more detail about Hydraulic One, what presses did you actually work on in there?
I think the first one I worked on was that 1600 Sun extrusion press. I think that was the first one that I'd worked on. Then I worked on a platen press, and then I worked on a deep drawing press that was earmarked to go to Bar Thompson in Scotland, in Kilmarnock. Again, with Vic Oldham, because those senior sort of fitters at that time were earmarked for different their sort of specialities for their usefulness.
Yeah.
And from ground level, it was nice to be able to be with an older man as an apprentice and then come through and help build it, direct it, and then go to sites and then install it.
Yeah.
So I went up to Kilmarnock with Vic for maybe 9 months, I think it was up there.
Oh, right, some time.
Yeah, it's quite a while up there.
So what you say it's deep drawing. What was the actual product coming out
the
of
The product
it?
Was, imagine a big cylinder.
Yeah.
It was the dished ends that were on the...
Oh, right.
The concave dish ends.
Yeah.
It was some very funny stories on that one as well.
Go on then, we better hear these stories.
Well, it was an accumulated system, so you'd have an accumulator with all this energy, that thing. And most of the accumulated pipework were flanged.
Yeah.
And we were testing the withdrawal rams that brought it back up again. And they all split because the screw joints were put in properly.
Were these joints you put together, Jim?
No, we had finished. But I did build one of the exercises that Vic gave me was to build a thing called a Braithwaite tank, which was a sectional tank, and it was like meter square steel, and you put joints, bolts, all bolted. And I was quite honoured really to build this, and we built it on the floor in the maybe six or seven sections round.
Was this up on site?
Up on site, yeah, right. Yeah. And they were going to crane it then up. It was like a water tank, a big water tank. So they were going to crane it back up to the top. So I built it all up and I put rubberized joints in between each end. So if you tighten up too much, you would have expanded with me. And I was so chuffed with this thing, and I put all the bracing bars in. And then, of course, on the floor, we said, we'll fill up with water now. And it leaked. And what I'd forgotten was the corner cleats. You know, I'd built all the sections.
Yeah, yeah.
These formed. Oh, well, what are they for, actually? I thought, well, it must be leftovers, you know. Usual thing. And so there was a big... I had a bit of stick over now.
So you washed the floor, basically.
I washed the floor, yeah. So that was one of the highlights of that particular job. But again, then a good place to work and a good product.
Did you... okay, so you were still an apprentice at that time?
Yes, I was, yeah.
So what other presses did you have a go at?
We worked on a press. It was called... it was for... Remember Henry Wigan in Hereford?
I've heard of them, yeah.
But at that time, it wasn't a press as such, it was a gun barrel. Do you remember that gun barrel? They put this gun barrel there. And we put these bayonet-type fittings either end. And you put the powdered material in and you pressed it. And it became solid. It was like a sinter material.
Oh, it's a sinter press.
So we worked on that and went over to Hereford until it blew the back end out. What happened was quite interesting. Is that the bayonet fitting? I mean, it's an enormous, great thing. I mean, small, and it had a split nut at the inside, and a solid nut at the bottom, wrong way round. So what happened is that when the pressure went in, the split opened up and it extruded out.
Wow!
So, but lucky enough, it was in the pit.
Yeah.
So that was quite a bang that took place. And I think it was George Claridge was the engineer.
Yeah.
It was the engineer doing it. And, again, a lovely, lovely man and a great bloke to work with. Look, a professor, really.
Yeah.
And finally, after I left my apprenticeship, I was working on those bumper bar machines.
Oh, right.
I've been looking to build one. A lot of people, obviously, but my name was on it. And I was due to go to somewhere in Sweden to install it. But by that time, I decided that sea life was for me, so I decided that I'd go to sea.
Okay, Jim, so one thing, you mentioned that you left Fieldings, but let's go back a bit before you left. Were you involved with sports and social in any way?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I'm a very sociable person. It's sometimes my detriment, I suppose, really, but no, seriously.
Yeah, we have met at the pub, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at that time, I didn't play sport at all. I mean, football was never my kind of thing. No. And I was never really good at it anyway, but I was too small and too little, so it didn't fire me up too much. But there was two guys working in the dispatch department. It was called Jim Haynes, and I can't remember the other is Oppo. It comes to me in a minute. But anyway, Jim Haynes ran the rugby. I think that was his sole job, really, to run the rugby. And they were desperate for players. And my good friend at the time was a lad called Tim Beard. Beard and I were very, very good friends. I used to go over his house in Ruardeen and stay with him, and he used to go to my place, and he bought a motorbike. We had a couple of smashes on the motorbikes. He bought one for it anyway. We were working on a Saturday morning, and Jim Haynes came around trying to recruit players to play rugby. And of course, you know, being a bit slight, I thought, no way. But Tim decided, come on, Jim, let's have a go. So we both joined at the same time.
Right.
So we both joined Fieldings Rugby. And I played there for quite a while.
How many years do you reckon you played?
I played about 2 years.
Right.
About 17 I started playing.
Yeah, well, strangely, the chap we interviewed a couple of weeks ago, John Lewis, he was involved.
Yes, he was.
He was maybe playing at the same time as you.
Yeah, yeah. And then they brought... there was people coming, next intakes coming in, Derek. There was a people called Tony Parslow. And they were good rugby players from school. And we had a really good time. And then a young Tony Barton, the nephew of the big Tony Barton. A lot of players and a kid called Wayne Roberts.
Roberts, yes.
Wayne Roberts, good tackler. And then we had Bob Scott.
Bob Scott was an
older man then. He came in as an older guy. Good centre, good Welsh boy, played good rugby. So we had quite a formidable team.
What position did you play, Jim?
Well, I played on the wing.
Right.
I played in the centre and played as far as I could go across the pack. Many years later, when I played for Trevor, I changed position, but I enjoyed the social side of it. They had Skittles. It was a good social side. They had tennis courts, as you know.
Yeah,
tennis courts there. The ground was always sort of stuck out. It was always waterlogged. We had the rugby side on one side, and then the football was there. Yeah. And we played cricket. Yeah, you know, you've done that. It was actually being encouraged, because I'm sure we played on a Wednesday.
Yes, we did.
Didn't we have a sports afternoon
we did.
On a Wednesday?
Yeah. Every Wednesday afternoon. We did.
And funny enough, there was people that we played rugby against at Primarily I meet these days, and they've got their own business, and I do work with them. Aidan Brown is the one.
That name rings a bell.
Aidan Brown.
Yes.
He was a Primarily boy. He got plastic.
Was he?
Years go by, you think that maybe you don't. But you meet up with
It's surprising.
Yeah, good social side, and